Welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special podcast series where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you probably know already, the dissertation is the culminating experience of the doctoral journey and includes independent scholarship that is significant to the field. So I thought it would be a great idea to dive into some outstanding dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Chris Mirica, the author of the dissertation titled Survey Development Examining the Association of Socialization and Physical Educator CSPAP Involvement. Dr. Mirica, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm a longtime listener of the Playing With Research podcast, and I'm just really excited to kind of nerd out about some of the dissertation stuff that I just got finished up with. I would like to thank, before we get started, thank my dissertation chair, Dr. Kate Egan. She's at the University of Idaho, as well as the rest of my dissertation committee, who were just awesome to work with. And then, I look forward to talking to you today.
Excellent. So you mentioned you just finished. Tell us a little bit about when did you finish and what are you up to now in your career?
Yeah, so it's been a crazy couple years. So I grew up in Lewiston, Idaho, and went to school and got all my degrees at the University of Idaho. But I graduated 2 years ago in the spring from University of Idaho with my doctorate in physical education, teacher education. And then I got the job here at either the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, where I'm an assistant professor within the Healthful Living and Fitness Education program. Our program has two majors tracks, one track for K-12 certification into physical education and health. And then the other major is for the folks that want to go into lifetime fitness and health. So they want to be like personal trainers or yoga instructors or work in the gym setting. So it's kind of it's a broader program, but it's formally AP program, and it's been a great experience so far. So that's kind of where I'm at right now currently.
Excellent. Well, it's a bonus for me to meet a colleague in the UNC system, a sister school, and it's our first opportunity to connect, but I suspect being in your network now, we'll continue that and see how, if there's opportunities to connect in the UNC system. Will you tell me a little bit about your background in terms of, like, how did you end up pursuing a doctoral degree in physical education?
Oh, man, it was crazy. So I never thought I would ever get a PhD, or never really kind of expected to get to where I am today. I graduated from the University of Idaho with my undergrad and PE in health in 2015. And during that time, it was pretty difficult to find a teaching job. That was where you had to apply, and there's applicants up to the hundreds for certain jobs and things like that. Kind of different than what it is now. Anyway, so I had a college buddy that moved back to his hometown in Eastern Montana, a town of about like 6,000 people in the oil Bakken. And he's like, he's got his Midwestern accent. And he's like, hey, bud, I got two teachers that are retiring in the school district. I can get you a job. And I was like, perfect. It's better than, sleep on my parents' couch and trying to find a job, substitute teaching and stuff like that. So I drove out to Eastern Montana, 16-hour drive in my parents' minivan, and had my interview, and they offered me a job, and I moved out there, and I was out there for 3 years doing high school PE and health. I coached all the sports. It was kind of like living in a Friday Night Lights episode every day. It was really cool, and I really valued that experience. But my third year, I transitioned into teaching as well as becoming the athletic director. And so I was like in my mid-20s, I was an athletic director, I was teaching and coaching, and I was really feeling pretty spread thin. And then during that time, I was finishing up my master's online through the University of Idaho, and my old major professor advisor kind of reached out to me, and she suggested that, I come back to the university and take an assistantship. And it was just the right time, because it was one of those things where I wanted to make a bigger change. I wanted to, become a better teacher and learn how to become a better educator and learn more about the field. And so, so after those 3 years, which were amazing and really important for my professional development, I moved back to Moscow, Idaho, and finished up my master's briefly, and then went straight into my PhD. And And just loved it. It was a great experience. And, you know, it was definitely something where I was going through grad school. And at the time, I was like questioning, like, what am I doing? You know, I'm getting my PhD, and what's the end game look like? But it was a great experience for sure.
Wow. Yeah, it's an interesting journey. Did you, I'm curious, did you look at other doctoral programs, or did you know, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going back to Idaho?
Well, it was interesting because at the time, like, I was just super naive. I didn't realize, I did not do my due diligence for research as far as like, this is a thing elsewhere. I just kind of, I'm a smaller town kid, and it was close to home, and they offered to pay my tuition and give me a teaching stipend because it was part of the assistantship. So it was basically free schooling. And I was like, you know, I mean, that was the only way that I was going to do that if I had those incentives. And so I'm really glad I took a leap of faith. I think one of the most challenging things for folks to go back to grad school is that you establish yourself, you're getting a steady income, like you're finally making money after being a broke undergrad or a broke college kid. And then to then have to go back to being a broke college kid and, you know, and making ends meet like you have to do within grad school. It's just, it was challenging, but, you know, it was a risk worth taking. I felt it just felt like the right move, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you get back to Idaho and, in your doctoral program and, you know, get through some courses and things like that, but eventually you really have to start thinking about your research interests so that you can propose a dissertation. What were some of the things that influenced you to select the research topic?
Yeah, so it really just kind of fell in my lap. One of the great things about the University of Idaho's program is that they're focused on this community engagement piece where they really try to get students to take on a role broader than just a PE teacher or a health teacher. They want them to get engaged within the community doing before and after school programs, initiatives that engage family in the community. And so with those different layers within their courses to have students be engaged in those ways, and having it really aligned with the comprehensive school physical activity model or this CSPAP model, that was really where my research started to take hold. And so I really wanted to examine, like, how do we prepare these undergrad teachers pre-service teachers to then become leaders of these types of programs? Because we know oftentimes PE teachers in the schools become marginalized or isolated from the rest of the school. And I felt that as a teacher when I was in K-12, I felt that marginalization. I wanted my future teachers to be more than that. I wanted them to be an advocate. And I really felt that this was kind of the avenue I wanted to take, for sure. And another thing with that was, you know, I started to do within grad school, you dive into research and you start to learn about different theories and stuff. And I really aligned with the teacher socialization and physical education theory because I just, you know, it was just one of those things where I never realized how, how important our life experiences contribute to just our teaching behaviors, dispositions, all that kind of stuff. And so I wanted to really look at, like, what causes people to become advocates of physical activity in schools, and is there significant factors involved related to training, or is it the factors related to your school organization when you get in that role? But those two hand in hand just kind of fell in to place. And my major professor, she came from University of South Carolina with Dr. Webster, and their whole thing is all about, you know, whole of school programming, CSPAP, and all that great stuff. So it really just felt like a good fit for what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So CSPAP model and socialization, I mean, those are two, you know, hot topics in physical education, and definitely an area where you've got some literature you can draw on, but also some unique research questions you can propose for your dissertation. So what was that like for you in terms of the research questions, and what did you hope to learn from your dissertation study?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we're in grad school, we're, you know, you're trying to figure out what your dissertation is, and you're kind of like, you're hungry for, like, what's the best one, right? And it really took a lot of talking with my major professor, you know, and she gave me a lot of literature to review. And so I had the content knowledge to really understand, like, the gaps in the literature. And then meeting with Dr. Webster. Dr. Colin Webster is now at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, but you know, he has a lot of content knowledge and background in research within CSPAP, and he proposes the idea of developing an instrument related to, you know, socialization and CSPAP involvement of teachers, because there's been a lot, most of the socialization literature is qualitative in nature, which is 100%, I totally agree, because, you know, it's so contextual, like you can't, everyone's going to be different based upon their experiences, but it's important for us to explore that avenue, at least with a measurement. And then within the CSPAP literature, nothing's really looked at factors related to the teachers. It's been looked at in the sense of like student outcomes and as well as policies and practice within the CSPAP model, but nothing with actual people who are, you know, implementing this thing. So, so that kind of really helped me come down to that narrow path of fighting that research question of, you know, what are those factors, those lifetime factors that are involved with someone, you know, becoming a advocate or a physical activity leader and implementer of CSPAP when they become an in-service teacher. So that's kind of how I came about to finding that.
Yeah. So, definitely important points. And so as you explored that literature around CSPAP, were there certain ways that the current literature base helped shape your study in terms of your survey development? Or I'm curious at what kind of, you know, how you built on the current knowledge base to move toward your unique dissertation.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it was looking at previous survey literature that had been done in both fields, CSPAP and socialization. And then from there, we also wanted to develop a survey to kind of hit on all those different potential types of offerings that a PEAP program might offer to instill physical activity leadership training or CSPAP training. So there was a series of articles in JOPRD that were, I think it was in 2017, where all these pioneering PEAP programs, you know, really just kind of discussed, hey, this is what we're doing in order to train or prepare our students for CSPAP. So it was like a deep dive into those to see what they were doing, and that kind of helped shape the initial survey questions and those types of things. But, you know, a lot of it too was looking at how survey development has been done in our field. And then modeling some of those practices related to creating a survey. So, yeah, it was definitely, I didn't expect to kind of get into survey development, but it was a great experience to really learn those different aspects related to survey development, because it's a lot more in depth than I originally imagined. And then why I got into it, it was very interesting, but it was great.
Wow. So you spent a lot of time on survey development. Did you ultimately end up developing and disseminating this survey? And what did that process look like for you?
Yeah. It's just so funny when I was in the middle of it, because I took the semester before I had my, started working on my dissertation, I had a survey development class, and I laughed about it because I was like, I'm never going to do a survey. Like, you know, I'm a qualitative guy. I'm going to do that. And then lo and behold, a semester later, I'm having to relearn the things that I kind of just ignored a bit. But anyway, so yeah, like within the survey, we, I created a list of items, and then we sent out the rough draft of this survey to content experts in the CSPAP and socialization field. I got their feedback, which was amazing. And to be able to kind of get a feel for like, are we on the right track? Is this what are we asking the questions that are intended to, you know, get at for our research questions? And then from there, we took our survey and we sent it out to a pilot sample. I think we had about 70 PE teachers that were grateful enough to spend the time to go through the survey, and gave us some good data to be able to run analysis to confirm that, is it reliable? Are we addressing what we're trying to address? And then went from there. But that was kind of the process we went through in a big sense as far as to develop the survey.
So can you talk a little bit more about your methods in terms of, you know, you sent it out, I think you did a pilot test, you explained, and did you ultimately send it out to a larger sample? You know, how many participants, and what was that process like for the survey?
Yeah, no, it was, that was an experience. I was reading my dissertation to prep for this, and I was getting kind of some PTSD of all the whole process.
Yeah.
For the pilot test, fortunately, we had those PE teachers that were familiar with our PE program, as well as the members of the research team, like close connections. So it was definitely a convenient sample. And then from there, I looked at other nationally representative surveys that have been conducted. And Dr. Webster had done one, I think, a year or two before that, where they had 3,000 teachers from across the United States that they set it out like an email and stuff. And their sampling procedure was stratified random sampling, where they used the National Education Statistics website to find all of the contact information for every school district in the United States for public schools. And then they used the sort function to sort the schools to randomly pick them. And then how we chose the schools per state was we picked 60 schools per state, and then we did 20 schools at each level. So 20 elementary, 20 middle, and 20 high school. And that gave us our 60 schools that we picked from for each state. And that gave us around 3,000. So I spent a lot of hours in Excel and a lot of hours trying to navigate school district websites to locate PE teachers' email addresses to then, put in our system to send out the stuff, and quickly learned that there's a lot of rough school district websites out there that don't offer a lot of information. So as many hours of just trying to stay in line with those best practices for creating a randomized sample. And so at the end of the day, we were able to get through that. We ran into a couple challenges. Hawaii is one school district for the entire state. I learned that. So that was interesting. And then Alaska, outside of the major metro areas like Anchorage or Juneau, there's really like a lot of those communities out there don't even have internet. So they don't have a website or anything like that. So that some challenges there, but we got our sample, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, so you learn a lot about just United States geography and diversity, but as you dig into those topics, that's really fascinating. So I skimmed through your dissertation as well, kind of preparing for this, and I think you actually had a mixed methods approach. You had a bunch of survey data, obviously, but did you follow that up with some qualitative data collection as well?
We did. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot about that. Yeah. So we got good feedback from the socialization content experts, and they were like, hey man, you got to add some qualitative questions in here because it's so contextual. Right. And so I'm glad we did, because that really helped with our, confirming, like, is our survey hitting what we're intending? So it was a good follow-up to each of our constructs to, say, like, if they didn't have a lot of experiences with physical activity involvement and acculturation, and they're able to note that within a qualitative follow-up question that said, can you explain more about those experiences when you're a K-12 student? Those were great. And we used that as a frame to kind of help reiterate our findings that were our quantitative findings. It's done in some surveys to kind of help validate what we're saying is basically true to what the surveyors is showing us within that quantitative data. It was really helpful to have that data to kind of advocate for what our survey data said.
Wow. Yeah. Were you able to get that kind of that qualitative data from that broad spectrum of participants that you got the survey responses? Because it sounds like you would have gotten, urban and rural areas and, everything in between. Was that consistent with the qualitative responses as well?
Yeah, it was. It was really interesting, because we had a broad age range of recipients as well, or participants as well, and so it was cool to see folks that just graduated from their PE program, and they may have came from a program that had a lot of training, and then we had some folks that have been teaching for 25 years and never heard of CSPAP before, but they noted they did learn about whole school physical activity programming and stuff. Coordinated school physical activity programs are nothing new. We just have a new title now, which is CSPAP in it, but there's always been something that has been an advocate for whole school PA since the 80s. It was great to see those those differences in age, as well as the areas, you know, as in urban or rural. It gave us some really rich data to kind of draw from there.
Yeah, interesting. You're collecting a lot of data. It's pretty dispersed from, you know, the settings that you're collecting it in. How did you manage all that when you finally get it in hand and you've got to go through a data analysis process? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a math guy or a statistician, but I was very, very fortunate. And Dr. Diana Mandrilla, who is an excellent statistician, she was fortunately on my dissertation team. And so she was kind of the one who was able to spearhead a lot of our, basically our analysis to kind of make sense of all the data we collected, because it was a lot. And in order to kind of really help us hone in on these are our factors and how do they align with our theory, and then how we make sense of it all. And so she was helpful to kind of show me the process to go through that. So we did some for our big sample with our large population of people. We did exploratory structural equation modeling, and that kind of helped us narrow down our factors, which aligned with the three phases of teacher socialization theory, which is acculturation, you know, your K-12 experiences as a student, professional socialization, which is those experiences within undergrad, and then organizational socialization. So those aspects related to when you're in the school, how those socializing agents impact you. So they fit across those three factors pretty nicely after we had gone through some different removing of items, things like that. And then we were able to draw upon a competency factor that we were able to frame as our dependent variable. So how do these experiences then impact their confidence to be involved with CSPEP? And that was what we used there. And we framed confidence within another theory. It was our study was huge with theory. It was wild. So we had that competency was framed within role, breath, self-efficacy theory, which is essentially, you know, what we want our PE teachers to be able to have when they get into schools, which really means is, are they willing to take on the roles beyond the traditional norm of the occupation? So for example, with teaching, to be a physical activity leader, they need to have the confidence to lead after school programming, or be an advocate of physical activity to the faculty, or be that stakeholder within those types of programs. So that's kind of how the analysis went as it relates to, you know, taking that data and disseminating it and really making sense of, like, you know, what do we got here? And it turned out, I was very, very lucky that it turned out the way it did, and that I had such a great dissertation team to help kind of navigate through all that.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you highlighted that point about having committee members who make different contributions. I think that's one really important element of the dissertation process. And if people are listening who aren't quite there yet, then that's one of those key points to think about, is, you know, what's missing in terms of expertise, and how can you construct a committee that's going to, you know, maximize your learning and development, but help you to close some of those gaps that we might have. So,
yeah, definitely.
So this is all really interesting, and, you know, I bet you have a lot of findings you could talk about here because you just have so much data. I even bet that there's data you haven't quite fully mined yet that might be in your study. But ultimately, you know, you must have centered on some important findings that you presented in your study. Can you highlight a few of what you think was the most impactful findings from your research?
Yeah, so two of the big findings I really think are important to take away from the data, and that really kind of fulfill some initial gaps in what we know in the CSPEP literature, is that the folks that were, you know, they were trained in PEEP to lead quality programs, and they had experiences with, like, beyond PE physical activity programs. So maybe they led a component of CSPEP in a methods course, or they led some type of after school programming. Those people indicated that they had greater competence and confidence to lead these types of initiatives framed within CSPEP as in-service teachers. And so that's something that we have seen, where we know that pre-service teachers, we've done qualitative and studies on pre-service teachers, like after they've completed some type of CSPAP experience in an undergrad, they have more confidence to do so and they desire to do it as an in-service teacher. But we don't know how does that translate to once they get into the schools, right? And so this is kind of some initial findings from in-service teachers that show that still continues on when they're an in-service teacher, that that training does have impact. And sometimes we have this theory that, like, you know, what we teach in undergrad gets eventually just washed out and nothing gets washed in. But there is hope that that is, you know, that wash-in is happening and they're doing the things that we, you know, we taught them in our in those courses. So that was the big thing I really thought was like, man, that's great, because it makes me feel better about the types of experiences I give to my students in my classes. The other one was that, you know, within the organizational socialization findings, we found that teachers that feel supported by their administrators, their faculty, that are given the resources and tools to be advocates of physical activity and lead these types of programs, they're more likely to be confident and more competent to do so as in-service teachers. And that's nothing new. We've seen that in the literature, but it just reinforces the importance for admin to not marginalize PE, to, you know, to use PE teachers as your physical activity leader in your school to change that culture. And when there's that influence there, I think that creates greater change in the field. But those were the two big things I really am proud of with that research that we found. And hopefully we can keep continuing to build off of to, you know, further expand literature base that way.
Yeah. You know that. So when you reflect back on your dissertation, the whole process, if you had to go back and do it all over again, would you do anything differently?
I think everything kind of fell into place the way I think it should have. At the time, I was having a lot of regrets. At the time when I was trying to figure out Qualtrics to create a survey, I'm going, why the hell did I agree to do a survey? Or when I was sourcing for teachers, I was going, why did I do this? But, I'm so grateful that I did do it, because it expanded my knowledge base of both quantitative and qualitative research. It got me out of my comfort zone, which I think would a good graduate program or graduate school experience does, is it gets you out of your comfort zone. You learn from those experiences and it makes you a better teacher and a better researcher that way. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't do anything different. I think I would have, in the future, if I were to go back, I would have really tried to, and learn more about the analysis process. And I would have tried to learn more in my survey development course. That would have helped a lot more, you know. But overall, it was great.
Yeah, that's funny what you said about the survey development course. It made me think of, like, back to middle school and you're in, you know, a algebra class or something, and you're like, oh, why do I care? This I never need to use this in real life. So and then you go on in life and you're like, oh, it would have been nice to actually develop those skills back then.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's good that you're able to be transparent and see that perspective. What have you done with the findings from your dissertation? Are you disseminating them, or is it having an impact on your career so far?
Yeah. I was really fortunate. And for those of you that are going through grad school right now, a piece of advice is try to get your dissertation published before you start your job, or at least get it submitted to a journal before you start, because that makes your life so much easier when you try to navigate that first year of your first year of being a teacher at the higher end level. But so I was able to publish to the International Journal of Public Health for our larger findings. So the findings related to our large sample of teachers. And then I was able to publish our survey development research to Journal of Teaching and Physical Education. So I was lucky enough to, again, have a great research team to motivate me and push me to get those studies out there in review before, you know, you start the semester in August. And that way they drop within your first year potentially. But I was really fortunate enough that those got published within my first year. So that gave me a nice little cushion to kind of set up my research line and get comfortable with teaching and all that kind of stuff. And then what we're currently right now, I've collected data on some follow-up data for this survey. So I had asked participants if they would be willing to participate in a qualitative study based upon what they discussed in their survey. And so we interviewed about 25 teachers and we've collected that data, and hopefully we're going to submit that for publication by the end of this semester, start of next semester. So that's the goal there. We'll kind of take that so we can look at that socialization in a qualitative lens and how those different lifestyle or life experiences impact their current in-service teaching behaviors related to CSPAP. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But again, I feel very fortunate because I know that is not the case for everyone that comes out of their PhD program to be fortunate to have that happen. So.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting advice you provide. I would endorse that. And we often think of the dissertation as an end point, like a hard stop. And it is in some ways, but you talked about it almost as like giving you momentum into that transition, getting the publication out and things like that. Was your dissertation structured in a way that allowed you to turn it around so quickly, or did you just have to, rewrite it into journal format?
No, I was fortunate enough that my major professor made a point that we were going to write it in journal format. And so from there, it was great because, in a dissertation, you write like beyond what you would ever do for a typical journal. And so you have all this, and then we're able to basically kind of cut away from what I'd written to be able to fit the journal and then submit. So that made life really easy in that sense, as far as preparing it to be publication ready. So, but the format was, it was a two study dissertation. And so we were able to really just kind of narrow the scope to what we needed to, frame around, as far as like, this is the means to get this published in this journal, and kind of go from there. So fortunately, that's kind of the way I set up my dissertation. And I recommend, if you're going through that process, I mean, it makes your life a lot easier.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that you're really staying on this topic. It sounds like you're developing your line of research, right in line with the dissertation and the qualitative follow-up study that you've got. You also have the survey. Do you intend to use that survey to, send out to another group of teachers, or are you hoping other people pick it up and make use of it?
I really hope other people pick it up and make use of it. Feel free to try and refine it if you'd like, that type of thing. But I think down the road, I'll eventually come back to it and we'll try to maybe use sections of that survey with certain populations of teachers, or take that survey and look at folks who were trained for CSPAP and PEEP and those who weren't, just to really kind of find a little bit more rich data to kind of back our claims and move forward. But right now, my focus is definitely that qualitative piece, looking how those lifetime experiences impact, in-service teachers. And really, I think a big thing that we need to focus on is what are the best practices in PEET to prepare these teachers for being an implementer of CSPAP? Like, is it, integrating, before and after school initiatives within methods courses, or do we make a requirement part of student teaching where you lead a component of CSPAP? So I think that we really, now we have so much data out there related to suggestions from people and really high quality PEET programs that, hey, this is what we're doing. But I think we now have enough to where we need to kind of narrow this down. And when we do that, I think that'll help create change within policy and practice. So maybe in the initial teacher education standards recommended by SHAPE, we include something where they lead a component of CSPAP within their undergrad. So how research should inform our practice. And I think that this is kind of the direction we should go within this field. And I hope so.
Yeah. So I'm actually curious, as I'm hearing you talk about CSPAP, so you've been in Wilmington a couple of years now. Is it your sense that K-12 schools around your area are interested in CSPAP? Is there some good activity around this topic down there?
Yeah. I think schools in general, after coming out of COVID, they're realizing we had a lot of loss related to student physical activity. And so there is a need academically to get folks get caught up, the kids caught up as far as academics, but also there is a dire need to get students moving again and find enjoyment moving. And so it's a slow process. You know, I'm sure you all that are listening that have established yourselves in a community with an higher ed institution, it takes time to get involved with schools, to build that trust, to then be able to start, you know, getting initiatives going. Some of the small things I've really tried to do is have my students partner with some of the local schools to implement their field days. And so like this fall, we got a grant to bus one of the local middle schools to campus, and my students are going to put on a field day. They'll do a campus tour. But those smile things are really important because it shows my students like the process it takes to, you know, to set up and schedule these things. How do I systematically plan for this and create stations or create activities that are going to work for a large portion of students? So I've been trying to do that for both semesters. In the spring, I'll do the same for the elementary level. And then from there, my hope is to kind of get into some of that during school physical activities. So structured recess or teaching classroom teachers how to integrate physical activity during the school day to kind of help some of those behavior issues, but as well as meet that goal of 60 minutes of physical activity each day for their students, which is a tough challenge right now. So it's a process, but it just takes kind of slow process to kind of get that point.
Yeah. So there's probably some listeners out there who pick up this podcast because they've got to think about a dissertation and they're trying to get some inspiration. You had a piece of advice earlier that was really, really good. If there's someone out there struggling right now with their dissertation, what encouragement might you be able to offer them?
Oh gosh. I had a moment of clarity when I finished my comp exam, and one of my old advisors was part of that, was on my dissertation committee, Dr. Grace Scott-Cart. And she told me, like, she's a very pointed person, and I really value her and appreciate all the feedback she's given me. But she said, this is not the most difficult thing you'll do. And this is not going to be the most difficult thing you'll do in your career. And I used that as a motivator to tell myself when I was struggling, you know, collecting data or struggling to write, I would tell myself, this is not going to be the most difficult thing I'm ever going to do. And it's not that you can do this type of thing. Like, there's tougher things out there. And I did that to kind of help motivate myself to realize that, you know, if you don't do the preparation, if you don't put in the time or the effort, you're not going to make it to the final show. So it's all about keeping that growth mindset, pushing forward and realizing that other people have done this, and this is not going to be the most difficult thing that you'll ever do in your life. So that's what I would tell.
That's great. Yeah. And it's rewarding in the end.
Yeah.
It has been for you. So, you know, this has been a great conversation. I'm glad I had a chance to chat with you. I think others are going to enjoy learning about your dissertation. If people wanted to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can look me up at the UNCW website. If you want to email me, feel free to email me. It's my last name, so it's MERICA, America, C@uncw.edu. Or you can look me up on LinkedIn. You can connect with me there. But yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm always excited to meet new folks in the field.
Yeah, and I know folks are going to look forward to seeing the the publications that are, you mentioned, coming and running into you on the conference circuit, perhaps. Before we wrap up, is there anything else folks should know about you?
I'll see you all at SHAPE. Hopefully I see you in Cleveland. And other than that, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on here and talk more about my dissertation. And best of luck to all listeners out there that are walking through the struggles of graduate school, and just know that it's worth it.
Awesome. Dr. Chris Merica, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.